I am unashamed. What about you?
Y'all are more of the political gurus. We're right before the election here. In my simple mind, I think one of the best things that Trump did to perhaps get reelected was this dance. I don't know if you've seen it. It's Missy showed me the viral dance last night via social media and all this. I laughed. Yeah, he got out there and he started doing a little jig on stage. And then there were thousands and thousands on social media. Everybody's now doing the Trump dance. And as silly as that is, I thought that our culture is just so, you know, let's face it, we have some shallowness to us.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's talking about hardcore issues. The 2020 has been an upheaval. And then all of a sudden, he goes out there and does this. I don't even know what you call it, but I'm shocked you haven't seen it.
I didn't know it was a viral thing. I know what you're talking about. He did it at one of his rallies, and the music was going, and I know what you're talking
about. It was almost like a choreographed dance. And, I mean, it has now become that because, you know, you got things like TikTok and all.
Yeah.
So it now proves, everybody.
It proves one thing.
What does it prove?
He's not a politician. Which is a good thing in these current times. We don't need a politician. That's Joe Biden, politician to its core of his being. You see a guy juxing around, you say, he's not a politician.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because I do these types of dances, but usually I do it in my house where no one's watching.
So you said this. Did you start by saying this was the best thing that he's
done? Best thing he could do, because I'm telling you, there's no such thing as bad publicity. And I think it kind of represents the two parties. Now, this is my simple mind. I could be totally wrong. Y'all are two geniuses in all this. But here's what I'm saying. He's made the decision that, you know what? We've tried to combat this virus. Mm-hmm. The other side is blaming him for it all, which I think is an overreach. He didn't cause it. They're like, well, he handled it terribly. Well, that's easy to say when you have something that no one is familiar with. They're like, you know, 200,000 people have died on your watch. Well, how in the world is this his fault?
Yeah, I thought that when I watched the debate. I thought it was this last debate. I'm like if the standard is that we cannot have a pandemic that results in any, like, what would be an acceptable number? What would be
So Trump, to his credit, said, well, one's too many. But, you know, and he goes through his little bit about he closed the airports and travel to China and, you know, whatever he did real early on. That's what they keep. That's their talking point on that. But what I was saying about the dance is, because now you have really, you see their two philosophies. You know, Biden, he's basically in the basement with the mask on saying, hang on. And he's doing rallies where cars are coming by honking. And then Trump is up there. He just had the coronavirus. 2 days later, he's back, you know, back like nothing ever happened and doing a little jig on stage, you know, without a mask. And I'm like, I'm just looking at it from a political view. They're saying, this is what we're going with. We're moving forward. And the other bunch is saying, we're shutting everything down. And so I'm saying, I think you have to pick something and go with it. And I'm not saying that he's not aware that we need to wear a mask. We need to try to stop it as much as possible. But, you know, we've been going through this for months.
Yeah.
Look, I'm just a man of C-plus prowess. C-plus man. You say, you ever worn a mask during this thing? No.
Well, you kind of wore your head.
I got my headband in case they say you got a mask. I said, see it on top of my head there? You say, have you ever worn that? No. You say, have you worried about this? No. No. I meet people every week. They come from all over the United States. I give them a little fist bump. Have you had coronavirus? Mm-mm. Have you had coronavirus?
No.
I haven't either. I'm just saying.
Now, I would say half the people I know have had
it. Yeah, a lot of people have had it.
I understand. And you say, and half the people you know, or three-fourths of them, they probably wore masks and this and that. And the other
well,
thing.
I would agree. The, well, a lot of the most quarantined people I know
that's
got it.
That's Trump's point. In other words, his point is, look, with or without the mask, with or without social, it's a microbe.
It's a pandemic.
It's a pandemic. Yeah. You're like, it's a pandemic. It's going to weed out some.
Yeah.
Others are going to just go on by. You say, but to shut everything down and curl up out there in a lonely room somewhere, you're like, it's
no way to live.
It's no way to live.
And tomorrow is going to be a day where I really believe that we're going to. And it's not about Trump. That's what I wish people would quit. Look, there's a lot of people like myself. I'm not a Trump.
They have Donald Trump as the virus.
That's what I'm saying. But it's like on both sides. Like the election is not about him. It's about where are we moving as a society. And I think that's a great point, Jace. I mean, I think one side of it's. I told you in the last podcast when. I flew on I won't say which airline, but I flew on an airline to get down here for this work for a few days, and I mean it was like the airline was so rude and controlling and like almost like they were angry that I was doing business with them, like they were mad that I was there, and I'm like, what is this? Like they're chastising, their tone of voice. I mean, and even restaurants that I've been in, I almost feel like now I have to apologize for doing business at your restaurant. I'm like. We're moving either to living our life or we're going to be completely controlled by you saw what happened in California this week. I mean, they're shutting down Thanksgiving. Did you see that?
Sure.
The governor of California. So, I mean, some of this stuff, man, it's not like there's some things worse than dying. And
the most off-said thing by the Savior of the world, the thing he said the most from start to finish, he's the beginning of anything and the end of everything. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So I look at it, my faith in God. I'm a child of the resurrection. You're like, so if this some microbe comes along and takes me out, whether it does or not, my faith still in the person that can deliver me from death. From death. Yeah. Don't worry. You know, believe in me and you'll never die. You'll just depart. Your soul and spirit from your body, you'll get your body back. I'm looking at it from a spiritual standpoint. I said, why are we going to run and holler? It's not going to do any good or hide. Mm-hmm. It's a pandemic. We just learn to live with it.
Yeah.
I don't run around begging to get it, but I don't run around in fear either. I just say, Lord, I put my life in your hands. If you want me to go 74 and then I'm out of here, so be it.
I do think it's worthy of note that they opened up early voting for like 2 weeks. It used to be just one day, like 2 weeks before, and then one day a week before. But now they're like, you can vote for 2 weeks up until election day. And so Missy came in to vote. Well, she went there Saturday, and she's like, the line was out to the road. So she just kept going. And she went today. She's like, well, I got to go because she's going back to Texas. And same thing. I mean, I'm shocked that there's this much passion. I mean, it took her 3 hours. She sent me a text a while ago. She's like, 3 hours.
So what would they have done? I mean, I'm not a huge fan of early voting because I feel like well, that's a whole other discussion, but
well, I'm curious on why you're not. What does it matter?
Because I think that it's ripe for fraud with the ballot harvesting and the way that they're some of the stuff they're doing. But now it's like, no, there's an election day. Let's all meet on that day. But with that being said, I mean, I don't know how they would have handled the load. I mean, because you're right, it's for 2 weeks straight. There's been a line a mile long in every voting precinct, so we're headed for the highest turnout in the last 110 years. I mean, I think.
Well, right. But see, I was making the point that they did that so that the older people, who are more susceptible to the coronavirus, could have a chance where there wasn't such a big crowd.
Yeah.
But the problem is, well, there's so much passion, I guess, about voting.
I appointed the president. I met with him two or three times. I pointed him to Jesus. I asked God to put him back in. Mm-hmm. I said, I think he's the man. He's with you. He's with your people. I watched him. He's with us, the Bible believers, the Bible thumpers. Donald Trump's on our side. He's pro-life. He doesn't kill children. If he did, I wouldn't vote for him. Ever. Ever. You're like, he has a keen mind. I zero in on his policies, and I push personality out of the way.
Hold on. Let me stop you there for a second, because this has been very controversial this week, or last week, rather. A prominent pastor who I respect a lot wrote an article that said that personality is equal to policy in terms of its effect on the death culture, which I disagree with that. But what are your thoughts on someone who would say, you know, you look at this guy and he's arrogant, boastful, and they would say that his personality is just so off-putting, and that it's what would you say to someone who would elevate personality over policy?
I would say what I wrote down in the front of my Bible: acumen, keenness, quickness in understanding and dealing with a situation, shrewdness, mental acuteness. I said Donald Trump has high acumen. He's smart, very smart. You say, I'm not worried too much about his look. He'll grow in the faith. I preached the gospel to him. I believe he believed it. That's what I believe. I believe God will put him back in office. That's what I believe. We'll see. So I look at it like I separate his personality. I said, he'll grow in that area. You know, it's a far cry when you first come to Jesus. You say, when you first came to Jesus, Phil, did you love your enemies? I said, I didn't even know what agape love was. I didn't even know what it was, Zach.
You said, well, explain that, because a lot of people don't know. Agape, which there's four different Greek words for love, right?
Yeah, but, yep. But before you tell us what they are, let's take a quick break.
You know what they say? The number one issue in relationships, communication.
Communication.
Yep.
Was it on Seinfeld? Who is the male guy? What was his name?
It's been a while. That hadn't been on in years. Yeah.
He who controls information and communication controls the world. Our friends at Patriot Mobile, they share our values. They are a leading firm in communication, cell phones, and they won't send your hard-earned money to aid anything that you would disagree with.
Which is probably number two in relationships.
Where'd the money go? Communication and money. Patriot Mobile, communicate through Patriot Mobile, and they're not going to send your money to places that would go against your values. Get the same nationwide service and support that a company from a company that loves America and shares your values and supports our police. Switching is easy. Keep your phone number, or you can bring your own phone number over, or you can buy a new one. And they have the best offer yet. Listen to this. You can get a free month of service, or you can get a free phone plus a free activation fee with our offer code, Phil, P-H-I-L, Phil. So just go to patriotmobile.com/Phil, or you can call their U.S.-based customer service team. It's 972, that's 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders can save even more, so please make the switch today.
In lieu of the argument about why are you voting for Donald Trump, I'm strictly voting for him because of his policies. Mm. He said he would do things, you know, fix the border, trade, get China out of here, quit buying their wrenches and tools, their pieces of junk. So everything he's done, in my opinion, I've said, that's what I would have done. That's what I would have done.
Yeah, the people in the circles that one of the circles I run in a few different circles, but I think they're well-meaning believers, but they would make the argument that Donald Trump's the way that he's handled himself. There's things that I don't like. I didn't like when he came after Ben Sasse. I think he's one of the most righteous men in D.C. And I don't like the way Trump's come after him. But to equate someone's personality as being just as detrimental as someone's policies, I think is kind of ridiculous. Especially when you consider. But you think about Marxism, for example, we mentioned that in the last episode. You got Mao Zedong, you got Pol Pot, you got Lenin, Stalin. These were all individual men, but what made them destructive was not necessarily a personality. It was the philosophy that they adhered to. And there was over 100 million people murdered under communist regimes. So ideas do have consequences. And so, I mean, I'm with you. I'm going with the policy and the platform of the party.
And here's why. It's pretty evident. Qualities like this, you're not going to be this way if you come out of a heathen background, which Donald Trump did, and I did, and a whole lot of other ones did. The Apostle Paul, he come out of a heathen background, going around killing Christians. So it takes a while to bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. You're like, whew. What if you're in politics in the United States of America like Donald Trump? Hey, Donald, make sure you bless those who persecute you and bless them and don't curse them. You're like, he's young in the faith. He's a babe in the faith. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Don't be proud. Be willing to associate with people of low position. He does a good job there. Do not be conceited. Need some work in that area. I do too. Well, look, don't repay anyone evil for evil. Yeah, that's a little room for a little help there, Mr. President. Look, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. You're like, be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everybody. Can you imagine putting that into practice? Look, if it's possible, which means hard to do, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. So you're elected as the president of the United States and they get a cabal together where they're going to run you out of there with the FBI. See, they come up with false charges and spend $48 million to try to get him on something. And then they tried to impeach him. And you get to looking at it, I can see how a guy would be a little testy at times. Yeah. He's young in the faith. Watch. Don't take revenge. Leave room for God's wrath. It's mine to avenge. I'll repay. If your enemy, Mr. President, is hungry, your enemy, well, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Watch. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You read these texts, my point is, you don't learn to be that way in 2 or 3 years. Look, my first 3 or 4 or 5 years in the faith, I was all over the map.
But we don't know if he's...
I didn't even know what loving my brother was all about. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I don't know if we know if he's young in the faith or not. I haven't heard him make a profession of faith, but whether he has or not, I'm not coming into tomorrow.
I'm not a mind reader. Yeah. I preached the gospel to him. Jesus died for his sins, Mr. President.
Yeah, but the point is, you only have two choices.
He was resurrected. I told him.
I think that's where I'm at. You have two choices tomorrow. I don't have to come in and be a Trump sycophant or someone who is like carrying the water. And I do think that's a little dangerous with people that have come in and held him up to be, you know, something that he's not.
Right.
And we need to be honest. Like, I don't know. I don't know what, but I know this. I know what I do see, to your point, I see a very well-defined contrast of what's about to happen.
That's all my point was. Yeah. Even about the video, I'm like, of all the meetings that they've had, here's what we do when they say this point, you know, well, they did this whole deal about oil where Biden's like, all oil gone. And so they made a big deal, and they're having all these meetings. What I'm saying is the something that happened by accident is what I believe was the greatest idea that no one had, which was it just represents that we've got to move on. I'm moving on. I'm feeling good. Let's go forward. And that kind of gives your take on a virus that really no one knows about. Even the doctors came up and said, well, we've got another surge. Let's do this and that, and maybe we can head it off. But the key word there is maybe. Nothing has seemed to work at this point.
Well, being afraid of a virus.
Yeah.
it's not going to do well, you any good.
I'm just saying, nothing is working.
We have a surge in new cases, but the death rate is plummeting.
I know. That is correct. But my point is, the what you said about this all being subjective is true. I'm not sure how much this has helped or hurt. And guess what? Nobody
knows.
Else knows either. If the steps we took had not been taken, we might be talking about losing 2 million instead of over 200,000.
We'll never know.
How are we going to know? So my point is, since we don't know, one side says it's all your fault. And the other side says, no, it's all your fault.
Nobody knows.
It's like your two kids. It's like back and forth. That was my whole point during the debate. Like, what number would we say, man? Well, right. At what point would the Democratic Party look at what Trump's administration and say, man, you guys were successful because only this many people died? Any number of people that died. Guess what they would have said? They would have pointed the finger and they would have said, you failed. And I think the American people, like all of us, need to start. We need to take a crash course in critical thinking and just really or logic or fallacies. Like, let's understand how what's being communicated to us.
Yeah.
We're biting on this red meat and we're not thinking this stuff through.
But you know what they say, the other side? They say, we're trusting science. The scientists say. I'm like, well, I trust in God. So where do I figure in? To you're saying this, the reason I'm right is because I'm trusting science.
Well, you don't want to put it science or God. I mean, we can trust in science too. It's ultimately trusting God, but we use scientific method. I mean, Christians invented science.
I agree. That's not really. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they're like, the reason that wearing a mask works is because of science. Well, what does that mean? The scientists said that's what works.
Which scientists? Who were they? Was it peer reviewed? Right. What was the?
It's a subjective thing, is what I was getting at.
Yes. You have some cloth over. I have a mask. This is it. The first thing the microbe is going to hit on me, it's going to hit on the follicles, the hair.
Yeah.
Well, whether it can climb up through my nose or not, we'll see how long it lasts. But I got pretty good protection under my nostrils. I got it pretty good on my face. It won't hit me. It'll hit the hair. It's going to hit one of my hair.
Well, they say it goes
I'm thinking this helps a little bit. It's a little bit of protection. But I'm seeing on the ball game last night in Kansas City and them with the smoke coming out of the breath of these guys and few people in the stands, but you go anywhere when it gets cold. I was looking at the amount of moisture coming from human beings out their mouth. And it was like from me to Jace, just a cloud of, and you get cold, it gets down to 30 degrees, it's just blowing it out. If you put a mask on, in my humble opinion, I'm not a doctor, and I've never played one on TV, but when you're blowing air out of your mouth, out of your lungs, a piece of cloth is not going to stop the microbes.
Well, it depends. There was a guy on the plane.
You're telling me it's going to siphon out?
They're like, does it hurt? And I don't disagree. What I'm saying is I haven't seen that big a difference one way or another.
That's because you didn't see.
Which is my point.
That's because you didn't see the guy sitting next to me on the plane. He had on a mask, and he had on another mask on top of that mask, and then he had a face shield. That guy's good.
The last time I was at an airport, I saw some people walking around like that. They had suits,
like hazmat suits on.
Oh yeah, and they had masks. And then but I thought, you know what? At some point,
I'm like, look, it is what it is. But when we talk about trusting in science, that only goes so far. If you trust in science, for example, Phil, you could get in trouble with this. But if you trust in science, when determining which pronoun you're going to use when you're talking to someone to refer to their gender, you can get in real trouble in 2020. So we do trust in science to a degree, but yet then we're talking about, well, you can determine your own gender. Whoa, hold on. But I looked at your DNA under a microscope. That doesn't matter here. So if we're going to trust in science, the problem is that science has become politicized. And we're the fallacy is that we're assuming that science is purely objective all the time, and that's not the case. It's never been the case, even when
because it's coming from scientists who are flawed people.
Exactly. And sometimes scientists have political agendas. Sometimes scientists have biases. Sometimes scientists have something that they're trying, an agenda that they're trying to push.
Tell me about it.
And so I think that what folks on our side are saying, if you want to use a side, I don't want to put myself on a side, but someone who would disagree with it, with the concept of trusting science, like, yeah, trust, as Ronald Reagan said, but verify. And if you've proven something scientifically, we're all going to be like, yeah, we agree. But have you really proven this? Because you've told us a lot of other things that were scientific.
Whatever the scientist said, what do you do when a pandemic hits?
Well, you can't stop. I mean,
with scientists or without them, what do you do?
Well, the science I trust is, to quote a verse, is Colossians 1:16, speaking of Jesus, for by him all things were created, visible and invisible. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's the science I trust.
That's my system of why I keep rolling.
Yeah.
I don't have masks, skirts, facial shields, I'm just putting my trust in God and moving forward.
To be fair, you socially distanced 40 years ago. So there was a barrier.
Let's
take a quick break. Jace, you got that nice Land Rover outside.
Yeah.
What year is it?
1964, I think.
You want to sell it to me? Would you sell it?
Yeah, maybe.
Let's talk about that after the show. Mm-hmm. Is it insured, though?
Of course.
Okay, well, good. Well, hopefully it's insured through our friends at Gabby Insurance. When you've had the same car insurance or homeowner insurance for years, you kind of get trapped into paying your premiums and not really thinking about it, which I know that's happened to me. Mm-hmm. But that makes it easy to overpay and not even realize that you're doing it. So stop overpaying for your car or your homeowner's insurance and see about getting a lower rate for the exact same coverage that you already have, thanks to our friends at Gabby. That's G-A-B-I. Gabby takes out the pain of shopping for car insurance or homeowner's insurance by giving you apples-to-apples comparison of your current coverage with 40 of the top insurance providers like Progressive, Nationwide, Travelers. Just link your current insurance account, and it just takes a few minutes, and you'll be able to see all the quotes with the exact same coverage that you have. So you don't have to go through a big process. You don't have to call multiple insurance companies. You log in, you put your information in, you link it over, and then they do the shopping for you with over 40 different top insurance providers. Gabby customers can save $825 per year on average. Probably mine. It's totally free to check your rate, and there's no obligation. So take a few minutes right now and stop overpaying on your car and home insurance. Go to Gabby.com/unashamed. That's Gabby, Gabby.com/unashamed. Gabby.com/unashamed. When the pandemic started, we did a quarantine series in the quarantine with Phil for our Blaze subscribers, which, by the way, you can go to Unashamed, or what is it, BlazeTV.com/unashamed, get $30 off between now and Election Day. And those are all still episodes are still on there. But yeah, that was the big joke we told, was that Phil's been quarantining before quarantine was cool.
I haven't changed anything except one thing, and I learned it from Jace. Uh-oh. I don't shake their hands.
Yeah.
I'm meeting them. They're from all over the country.
You do a fist bump?
I'm baptized. I just put my fist out like that.
Yeah. But I was doing that before the coronavirus.
That's right.
Look, and y'all call me weird.
But it made sense to me. I said, well, no use in just raking them off with their hand. So a little fist bump.
Well, I got something that...
They want pictures. I say, okay. Well, we stand there and we take pictures. You know, so you say, well, you've been doing that for the last 6 months. Yeah.
Well, I did.
I baptized probably 50, 75 people. I don't know. But you say, so you had to grab them.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll tell you this.
You push them under the water. But I thought, well, that's washing off a lot of the coronavirus. Get them under water. Wash your hands. I said, well, let's wash them, the whole body. Mm-hmm. So, Jesus said, go make disciples, baptize them, unless there's a pandemic. Then don't touch them. He didn't say that.
Look,
if he'd have said that, I would have do that. I said, well, pandemic, can't touch them.
Every building that I've gone into, I wear a mask when I'm in a crowd of people. Here's what's happened. I've done 5 events since the coronavirus has been out. Mm-hmm. I walked in with a mask on, I looked around. Nobody had masks on. I said, "No, we're not doing masks here." Now, they've asked me to come do the event. And so I take the mask off. They want pictures. I have not turned down one picture or one fist bump since the coronavirus started.
Me either.
I made a decision. Do I want to just, I thought, it's not worth it. If I get the coronavirus because of this, I'm going to do it. They want to take a picture without the mask. So I've done five events, five different cities. I have taken hundreds, if not thousands, of pictures right here with people. I've never gotten it. And I thought, I'm doing something stupid. So science says, and I haven't got it. I'm like, you know what?
That's where I am.
Yeah, but so, there, but there's other people who have done that and got that. I don't think you could. I mean, it just is what it is.
Oh, I'm not saying I should have gotten it, but I had to make a decision.
And you might get it.
I might get it in 5 minutes. But I had to make a decision. I'm going to go to this event. I looked around, and I'm like, well, they don't seem to care. So I'll go with it. Now, if they would all had masks on, they said, we want you to wear a mask, I would have worn a mask.
It's a team player. It's a decision that each person has to make. I think that that's the thing. Yeah. Like, I'm not knocking somebody for – I'm not knocking the guy that had the gear on. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to take the risk, and I'm willing – I mean, this may sound crazy, but I'm willing to roll the dice and go out with that
mask. I trust in God.
But that's my business, right?
Yeah, I agree. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's free.
I trust in God. You say, why do you trust in him if you see a pandemic or not a pandemic, whether it's a pandemic or not? Because I know one thing. He raises dead men from the ground. That's the one I got my trust in. So when you say, well, where does the microbe fit in there? I said, he raises dead men from the ground.
So while we're here,
that's where I am.
So while we're here, we're gonna live. I mean, that's the thing.
You got it.
So here's my point. I brought this up because of this. I've had all these encounters in the past few months. Not really my choice. I mean, we signed a contract saying I would come visit this location. We did all this for the coronavirus hit. Some of them postponed, but some of them didn't. Because I believe that my purpose, the bigger purpose for me on earth, is not who I vote for president, even though I'm going to vote for the guy who I think represents more godly principles. I don't care what his personality is like. I believe my purpose on earth is to share Jesus with other people. I'm not going to be able to do that unless I encounter other people. You say, well, you can do it on social media and all that. That's true, and I have. But I think there's something about what Jesus did from person to person, and I wanted to read you something and get y'all's opinion. And we did John 14 last podcast, but I wanted to bring up a rather obscure verse. Right after Jesus said, don't you believe that I am in the Father? This is John 14:10, and the Father is in me. The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. So that was his big claim, and eventually got him killed. He's like, I am the Father, and the Father is me. I'm here representing God Almighty. Then he says, believe me when I say that I'm in the Father. This is verse 11. And the Father's in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. So he's like, how would I have this power? I mean, you should at least believe, because I do have the power over atoms and molecules and healing, and that's why we have our trust in him. But then he says in verse 12, this is my point, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me, believing he is the Father, will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these. Now, I'm going to stop right here. My question is, he's talking to his disciples here right before he goes to a cross, right before he's buried, right before his resurrection. What were the things that he was doing that he was trying to say, if you have faith in me, you'll do what I've been doing? Now, I'll give you one, because he had been doing miracles, and we know later on that he passed the gifts the power of the Holy Spirit to his followers, his disciples, his apostles, and they also did miracles. We have that recorded in the book of Acts. But I was wanting to get your opinion on what do you think the other things that he was doing, that he said, if you have faith in me, you'll do what I've been doing. What are those things, do you think, up until this point?
I would say you would love me. I love the Father. I'm God. And you will love each other. That's what I would say.
What would you say, though?
Yeah. I went around making sure people knew I loved them.
But they've been watching him, and he's like...
Yeah, well, I think that... Well, I wanted to make one... I know you meant this, but one clarifying point. He didn't say that I am the Father. He said I'm in the Father. They're different persons, but I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me. So I think that...
good point.
I think that what he was talking about was spiritual healings, and I think he was talking about what he was doing in his ministry. I think he was talking about he's bringing the kingdom here. It's the unfolding of his ministry. It's the unfolding of the kingdom of God, and he's like, I'm leaving, but you're going to be doing this.
And see, I agree 100%, and that's my
because
point.
It's because what it is what it is that it's still progressing to this day. It's still growing, still growing.
But you have 13 chapters.
Hold on, let's take a quick break.
So I tell you this, I got this Simply Safe in the mail, and my wife hooked it up, which is embarrassing. But you got to remember, in marriage, you got to understand your lane.
Yes.
I'm good at destruction. She's good at everything else. And so she hooked it up. 10 minutes, ready to go.
No problem.
No problem.
And you monitor your home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
And I was bragging on her. I was, good job, babe. You're awesome.
You got to make a woman feel secure.
Well, she made herself feel secure. But so.
Simply Safe, our friends at Simply Safe, they'll monitor your home around the clock with security professionals who are there in case of an emergency to immediately send help to your home. Plus, there's no contract, no hidden fees, no installation costs, especially if you get your wife to do it right. So that was good. Good job, Jace.
Awesome. So easy. Your wife can do it. Which in my case, she's way more talented. So
nice recovery, I was about to say. You were going to get in trouble for that. Good recovery. Right now, visit simplysafe.com/unashamed, and you can get a free security camera plus a 60-day risk-free trial with any new system order. There's nothing to lose. Go today to simplysafe.com/unashamed. Simplysafe.com/unashamed.
You have 13 chapters leading up to this point. And all they've seen him do, he came up there and called them. He started talking about the kingdom. But then he just has one encounter with crowds and individuals on a daily basis. He wasn't like going to some training facility and building a building and say, we're going to become the most powerful people on earth. He just goes from one person. You think about what happened in John 3. This religious leader comes to him. And what does he do? He tells him he needs to be born again. John 4, you got a woman with a lot of baggage who's from the wrong side of the train track or dirt road track. And what does he do? They have a situation where he teaches them, oh, I love everybody. It doesn't matter how much baggage you have. Then he runs up on a fella in John 5 who's sitting around trying to be healed, has this lifelong disease. And even if you look at the details of the story, he almost rebukes him for not doing what it takes to try to get better. I mean, because he said, do you want to get better? Because he's so comfortable there. You get to John 8, you got the woman with all the baggage that they now have a trap for him. What does he do? He shows that, you know, look, we all have a tendency, especially with an election coming up, to throw rocks for whatever reason because of our baggage. And he has this profound moment where he puts everybody in the same camp, their sins.
Yeah.
And so my point is, our life, here we are claiming to be in Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit of God. My macro part of my life is having encounters on a daily basis where I introduce Jesus and the same principles he was showing his disciples. That's my whole existence. Yep. And you know where I got that idea from? You. Because when you came to Christ, now your first 3 or 4 years, I'll admit, were bumpy.
Yeah.
But then one day you had an epiphany, you had an idea, you just said, I'm going to share Jesus with whoever comes down here. And yep. People just kept showing up.
Man, that's a great point, because I think what, in the context of, I always tell people this, anytime we get in a conversation about the Holy Spirit, and I've gotten a lot of conversations about what he does, or as some people would refer, what it does. I'm like, oh, you've already got it wrong, because mm-hmm. he's a person. But I'm moving to John 14, 15, 16, and 17 if we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And the reason why this matters, what you're saying is the encounter is what Jesus is ultimately claiming here is you've had an encounter with me, and to the apostles at least, you have apostolic authority. You have, I mean, like I've touched you. You're like you're speaking yeah. on my behalf. You're going to write the Bible. But what about the rest of us?
Yeah.
And what he's saying here is that the Spirit is going to come, and when the Spirit gets here, he's going to indwell the believer. Acts chapter 2, we see that when the church gets kicked mm-hmm. off, you know, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And what do you receive? The gift of the Holy Spirit. God moving in, living in the believer. 1 Corinthians 6, all sins of man commits are outside his body except for sexual sin, because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So my body is the new temple. And so I think what he's getting at here of what they're gonna what he's been doing is he has been building the kingdom, he's been doing all this stuff, and what he says, you are gonna be the kingdom. And I like this because Phil, and I got this from you too, by the way. I think the American church right now, I might get in trouble for saying this, but man, it's about to change. We have an unhealthy and unbiblical view of authority. We really believe that there's these Christian gurus that we can get up underneath and then submit to right. these gurus. And I'm like, no. We are a priesthood of believers.
But now, look, I don't have a problem with what you're
the
what
same you're the same person that you're reading in John 14. John, he said in 1 John, because the question is, how do you know you know? Well, we know that we have come to know him, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth's not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Now, you got to remember, you'll do what I've been doing. Whoever claims to live in him, Jesus, must walk as Jesus did. He goes on to say,
love it.
I'm giving you not a new command, but an old one. And he starts talking about loving your neighbor and all the things Jace mentioned, whether it's you got this woman, it's easy to turn on her and say, she's some kind of whore, take her out. But Jesus took up for her. You're like, Whether you're dealing with the homeless or the ones who say they ain't worth it, I mean, you're never going to make a difference in their lives. Now, Miss Kay says, why am I giving you all these food cards now? She asked him yesterday morning. She got these food cards. She gets to the homeless. She said, how do y'all know? What do you know? Why am I giving you these food cards? And every one of them, they said, because you love us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you love us.
Well, I only brought it up because I think
it's a small point, but you say, and look, do you realize how hard it is to get people to know that you love them? You have to prove it.
Yeah.
You have to do something where they know you love them.
Let's take a break.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated.
so I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
But look, my whole point is you had something come up where the goal is to separate yourself from any human contact. Alienate yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, okay, we're going to do that. And that's why I did 20 virtual events with young people on the internet. Now, I had hundreds of people come. You say, well, why'd you do that? Because I'm like, my purpose on earth is to do what Jesus did, which is have encounters with other people and explain to people what God is like.
That's and good. Amazingly, and I've done Jesus. The same thing. One yeah. interview after the other.
Because I'm not going to stop that.
Yep.
So now we're months into this coronavirus, and I'm like, look, and the last place I went to, I had a bunch of kids there, and we didn't have masks on, and somebody said somebody was hot about it, and then they fired something off, you know, like, I think we should all wear a mask.
It's proven that like, there's a tiny percentage yeah. of children that have this disease, and it kills them.
I said, I'll put the mask on, whatever, it's your event, whatever y'all want me to do, and everybody but one person said, no, we're not wearing the mask. But I said something that kind of stopped. It was like a wait a minute moment. I said, I just want y'all to know something. I'll wear the mask if y'all want to, because we want to do our part. If that will help, okay, let's do it. I said, let me be clear. I'm willing to risk my life for you to understand who Jesus is. And there was a 20-second pause, because I was pausing on purpose because I was serious. Because my whole point, even we started talking about the election, we talked about the coronavirus, the bigger part of my life is doing this on a daily basis. To your point about the religious world, Jesus didn't wait on Sunday to do all this activity.
No.
He was going from in the middle of the night, here we are the next day, he was at the well, every day was a journey to show who God
offer
was.
Offer your body yeah. as a living sacrifice.
To show who God is, because I agree. Every day was a journey to show who God is and to share that God is a fellowship of life, which is the opposite of social distancing.
That is correct.
I mean,
correct.
John 14 is like, it's like, John 4, the whole Bible is Emmanuel, God with us. It's not God mm-hmm. away from us. It's God with us. And I think that you think, well, what happens when we reflect something that's not the nature of God? What happens when society say, you know what, let's social distance for about a year and just see what happens?
You have
riots. You burn down
you
cities.
Have suicides, you have drunkenness. You have drug use. I mean, hey.
There's some things worse than the coronavirus. And I think that what's happened in culture right now, I think there's a direct connection between what we're seeing in terms of the divisiveness of culture, how divided we are now, just the
anger.
We're not in community anymore.
I heard somebody talking about it. I haven't seen it yet. They said there was a movie, I think Russell Crowe did or whatever. It was called Unhinged. And they were just saying that it's about what's going on as far as the anger and the social distancing. They said, it's a movie, so whatever. But they're getting these ideas now because when we alienate ourselves and we panic and we're fearful and we're divisive, you lose that connection.
Because you weren't meant to be siloed off. And so what happens is you silo off. Like we can do community with people, even that we disagree politically.
You must admit, Zach, the left is scared to death of this particular virus. But I would just simply say they're scared to death, rightfully so. You know, they need to be afraid.
Yeah, I met a guy who worked at the ER in a small town, and I was just asking him. I was like, "What are most?" I mean, I wasn't even thinking about what we're talking about, but I was like, "What's the number one thing problem you see come in there?" I was more just curious of what the injuries was, and he's like, "Well, number one overall is some kind of drug problem, trying to get drugs or their own drugs, and they're being wheeled in." He said, but number two is young people with suicidal thoughts. And I was like, well, I said, well, you're living in a small town. He's like, yeah. I said, how many are we talking about a month? This is a small town. And he's like, I would say 100. I said, 100? I could not believe it.
Do you know
but what? Just in the past few months.
You know, one of the top questions.
That's interesting.
One of the top questions we get. And I don't know why this is so. I think it may be the time period.
Was this pre-coronavirus?
No, this was since the coronavirus. He was saying 100 a month.
So we've been getting a lot of questions about suicide, particularly the question of what if you commit suicide, is that an automatic ticket not to heaven? You know, and I think one of the ways I would respond to that is, you get to heaven because you're in Jesus, and if you're in Jesus, there all your sins are forgiven. But it is sad to me that there are so many people contemplating this because they feel isolated, they feel lonely, they feel a sense of shame. I think isolation and loneliness are some of the key aspects of this. If we could really just understand what God has offered us through Christ and through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, I mean, we
can walk with God. And you're never alone.
You're never alone.
Never alone.
But I think it comes back to, you know, the most inspiring people to me on the planet are people who have every reason in the world to quit, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
From, you know, I've told this story many times. My heroes, you know, I have a short list, but some of them have been, you know, there's a woman that I'm thinking about right now who just as a kid was abused, sexually abused by multiple family members and just made one bad decision after another. And then a life of abuse, married the wrong guy, barely escapes with her life, gets married again, wrong guy again. And this cycle happens. And then we have an encounter like we're talking about. Here's all this baggage. I share Jesus with her and she cries. And I'm like, why are you crying? And she's like, well, I finally have a place where I can forgive. And she's talking about forgiving the people that have wronged her, which made me tear up. And I'm like, because she told her story to Missy and I, and I was like, of all the people I would think has every reason to quit, it would be you. And look, she surrendered to Jesus. You know, we baptized her, and she has been a rock. This is years ago when she came to the Lord. A rock the whole time. And I look at somebody like that as a hero because I thought, now, she should have just, if it had been me, let's just end this and move. Had every reason. I think God lined us up having this conversation and met, and thankfully I didn't drop the ball. And whatever I had going, I shared Jesus with her. And now, look, that's someone that inspired
me. The author of John 14, the Apostle John, again, several years later, he writes two or three little books, and here's one of them. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light. There's nothing in him to make him stumble. You say, that's a lot riding on loving your brother. That's why when you mentioned, what would Jesus say? Anybody who loves me, they'll do what I've been doing. Well, here's an example. Whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. That's a lot riding on how we look at each other. If you just look at the American culture, Zach, and just pull back a little bit, and all of what we've seen since the pandemic, it was almost like we were doing pretty well. The economy is booming. Wages are up. Trump was right, and you say, all of a sudden, here comes this pandemic. And I look up, and what I've seen since the pandemic, the only thing I can gather is it scared them so much, they got in the streets, They burned, they looted, they are shooting each other at a higher rate. Mm-hmm. They are bad-mouthing police, get rid of all law enforcement. I've just watched the thing unwind, and I've said, and it all happened when the after the pandemic came. So I've tied them together, and I'm saying I'm not going down that road. I think they're scared to death, don't know what to do, they have no hope, and they just turn on each other like ravaging wolves. They don't know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them. It's what John said, the apostle, when he wrote 1 John. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven. It gives them hope on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you've known him who's from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you've overcome the evil. All these things about hope are listed down there that only comes from Jesus. I write to you, dear children, because you've known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you've known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you're strong. The Word of God lives in you. You've overcome the evil one. Well, all those texts, they'll do what I've been doing. Well, if you look at him, you say, he just went around there doing good, just doing good. Get up and do good. Well, just put that up against what you've seen in the last 6 months in America, and you're like, there was no good. They're up to no good. Therefore, that's my speech. I'll shut up now.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.